or tape CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, May the 26th, 1988. First service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is one of two of the Thursday evening service.
I don't like to pray by myself, so all of you got to join me. Come on. Praise you, Jesus. Father, it's a privilege that we come this evening, that I come and receive this offering, Lord, from these your people. And I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of receiving it. And now, Father, I come, and as I bring it as a sweet savor and an offering unto Jesus, my high priest, to be presented before the altar, before the throne on the altar as a sweet savor from these thy people, Father, I ask you to receive it and to accept it, Lord, as a sweet savor in your nostrils from your people. And now, Father, as I take it and I become steward over it, I take authority over these finances and I bind them to the kingdom of the living God, that these finances shall be used for nothing but the furtherance of the gospel and the necessities of life, who through whoever's hands these finances pass. I bind it to the kingdom, that it shall multiply again and again and again and again for the kingdom, that these finances shall be used for the glory of the Lord, and that I bind it to that cause. And Father, I thank you for the privilege of it. And now, Father, I thank you for those who have given and those who cannot give. And I pray your anointing and your blessing upon them, Father. I pray the blessings of Abraham upon them, upon their families, upon their finances, upon all that they possess. Father, I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for health and finances and strength for them as they praise and worship and glorify thee. Father, I praise you for the privilege of coming this evening and receiving this finances and using it then for thy glory. And help me, Lord, to be a good steward of it, that I will be a good steward, Lord, of that which you put in my hands. And I thank you for the privilege of it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Now you may be seated. I don't know if anybody else is going to make you stand up again this evening or not, but if they do, so be it. We'll stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we pretty well got all the announcements taken care of, so far as I know. If you need prayer and you're sick or something like that, why, we'll be glad to pray for you and to lift you up before the Lord. And if somebody is sick somewhere on the campground, why, come and find some of us, and we'll come and be glad to pray for you and to believe that the Lord will touch you and raise you up. Amen. 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 If you feel that the Lord's given you something to give to somebody, a word of the Lord for them, we ask that it be done here in the auditorium. In fact, we require that it be done here in the auditorium. If the Lord gives you a word, that's wonderful, that's fine. But then you restrain yourself until you're in the presence of some of us, and then you're free to minister the word of the Lord to them. But we do not allow private ministry around over the campground or in the dormitory or in the rooms here on the campground. If there's ministry that you have or ministry that's needed for someone, well, you come find some of us or come here in the auditorium. This is the place for it here. And we just want that understood so that there will be nothing going on somewhere that somebody will come and tell us so-and-so, this or that. We don't want to hear any of that. We want it all to be right here where we hear it all right here in the auditorium. And if it's of the Lord, why, this is the place for it, right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a great privilege to have so many wonderful ministries of the Lord with us this evening. I know we have several that have joined us here in the auditorium this evening, and we appreciate you coming, and maybe you have come for ministry. We have lots of ministers who come here for help and ministry. And so don't feel bashful if you are one of those that's come for help. But this is the place to come for it, because you're not the first one, neither will you be the last one who has come or does come here for ministry. There are those who will be ministering to you from this pulpit, who the reason that they ever came here in the first place, they came here for help. And now they're coming back and ministering to us from the pulpit, and we appreciate their ministry and the Lord moving in their hearts and lives. But that doesn't mean that I don't need some more help or you don't need some more help. We all need help as we travel the road of life, and striving to fulfill that which the Lord has laid in our hearts and on our hearts to fulfill the calling that's in our lives. And Satan would like nothing better than to sidetrack those who are ministering the word of the Lord, which all of us know from what we've seen in the last year, year and a half, or even before, the things that Satan has tried to do. But we need to uphold our brothers and our sisters and to pray with them and for them and to get them back ministering the word of the Lord. The calling of the Lord is still on the lives of those who he's called, and the Lord is able to raise up from the vilest sinner and set the captive free and use him for his glory. And it's not us to question, or it's not us to find fault with. It's just for us to pray and uphold our fellow minister or whoever they are, and help them to walk a path of holiness and righteousness before the Lord. Amen. Amen. I believe that we're called to help raise up those who have fallen, and those who have never fallen but just need to be raised up. Amen. And then we pray and believe that no one will fall. But if they do, help us to be merciful and reach down and lift them up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Gene and Earlene Moody have been coming and visiting with us here and helping Irma and I for a long, long time. And this weekend, Earlene went off to be babysitter and left Gene by himself. But Gene came up to be my helper anyway, and I appreciate that. Gene, come up here and greet Gene Moody. He's an engineer from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and his wife is a retired school teacher, and they minister deliverance to the body of Christ.
He's not a retired engineer. He's now an engineer. In fact, he worked yesterday.
Right. Praise God. It's really been good in Baton Rouge. Our business is doing great, and our ministry is doing great, and we'd just like y'all to keep praying for us. Seeing good things happen in deliverance in the greater Baton Rouge area. You see, I'm real relaxed. I came to work. I came to serve. And I told the Lord that whatever it is you want me to do up there, you just arrange it and tell Brother Glenn, and I'm going to be his assistant. We have a lot of talented preachers here, both in deliverance as well as in the kingdom and in the other messages. So I'm not even sure I'm even going to be teaching. But I'm here to help you, get delivered, whatever it is that the Lord has for me, and help Brother Glenn with the meetings and whatnot. We have a little grandson, and boy, we've really been having fun being grandparents. Our little grandson is 3 months old, and our daughter is a biologist, and so she went to Dallas-Fort Worth area to take some additional training in that area so that she can run her department in the company that she works in. And so Earlene went along as grandmother and babysitter. And so it's really unusual. I find it very unusual. I usually take great pains not to be separated from Earlene. And if it hadn't been for Brother Glenn's call, I wouldn't have been here. So we're here, and we're looking forward to see what the Lord is going to do. And as usual, I know he's going to help a lot of people.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to vary a little bit here for a minute, and I'm going to surprise somebody, but I would like Sister Oglesby to come and say a word. Jeanette Oglesby, she lives here on the campground, lived here quite a long time. She just got back from Australia, and her dear husband went to be with the Lord a few months ago, but she's
fighting the battle for Jesus.
Praise the Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Him. And I just thank the Lord that He still has a place of usefulness for the people that think they're getting old. If Jesus speaks to you to do something for Him, do it. And I believe this is Brother Garland Pemberton. God bless you, brother. My husband and I came into Pentecost in 1952 or 53. And we were passing through the Houston area. And Brother Pemberton gave us opportunity to speak in his church. We were old-time missionaries in Ethiopia, Africa. And Brother Pemberton prophesied over me. And one day, Brother Glenn was reading a letter in a prayer meeting, Thursday afternoon prayer meeting, where someone mentioned Brother Garland Pemberton. I said, Garland Pemberton, I didn't know that he was alive and in circulation. But I said, he gave me a prophecy way back then, and it's still working today, brother. I even have it marked in this very same Bible. So if you get a word of prophecy, have your ears open to hear what the Lord is saying. And open your heart wide for a blessing here. And it took a lot of strength to go way under to Australia. But when the call came to go, I said yes to the Lord in 1933 that I would go to the foreign field. I started out with my husband in 1946. In 1986, we did 9 countries in Africa. In 5.5 months, in 1987, in the spring, God took my husband home. The call came to go to Australia, and I took off, and God brought me back, and I'm trying to get my days and nights straightened out. I said, I don't know if I'll be able to stay awake through the service tonight. And Sister Ray Olson, who plays the organ up here, she called me last night. She said, I just wanted to see if you were still awake so that I'd be able to come tonight. So just stay awake, enjoy the Lord and what you've come to receive. Open your heart wide and receive from the Lord while you're here. God bless you. Thank you.
Brother Bill Smith and his dear wife, we have known for several years now. And he's been here a few times, but she's never been here before. This is her first time to come to be at the campground. And I think she ought to come say hi. I know where she's hiding. You want to do it there? Well, all right. Well, you're not that bashful. Now, you're not that way at home.
It's good to be here. I've heard a lot about Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and we've had the privilege of having Glenn and Irma with us time and time again. We have a meeting in March, and somewhere near the 17th every year. And the Lord called us into a special meeting in November, which was a wonderful time in prayer and fellowship with the Lord. But it's good to be here, and I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us beseech you tonight to seek the Lord. Seek Him, and He'll be found of you, and you'll receive that you have need of. That's what I came for, is to seek the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Now I'll let her husband, Bill, come and greet you. I should tell you where that meeting's at that she was talking about. It's in Fort Worth, Texas. Over in Fort Worth is where their church is. And we have a wonderful time going down there and praising the Lord with them once or twice a year.
We praise the Lord for the privilege of being back at Lake Hamilton again. I'm a debtor to this place. I'm a debtor to Glenn and Irma. And I just praise the Lord for the greatness of our God. There's never been a day like this day that we're entering into. God is refining, God is purifying, because God is bringing His product forth that's going to turn this world upside down for the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. I believe that God is getting us ready. I came to this Bible camp expecting to be a blessing. I came to receive of the Lord. I came to be empowered with God, that I'll no longer live in the beggarly elements of the world system of anything, but we'll come forth in a greater dimension in God. Because I feel that we're coming into the last hour. We sang the chorus of Hosea 6 and 3. How that we've been smitten, we've been stricken of God. But folks, we are entering into a new day. This is the third day. This is the day of the Lord. That God is raising us up. That we are going to live in His sight. But I'll tell you, there's an hour that's crying out within us. This year, since last November, Brother Glenn and Sister Irma, they were with us. And I'll tell you, I was so blessed of the Lord as Brother Glenn and Sister Irma came in on that Sunday night. Our young people, even our baby, our little grandchild, when our brother was talking about his little grandchild. And you know, they are exactly what that means. They're grand. You see, that's the one we get to spoil that we don't have to correct, you see. So, as Brother Glenn began to minister to the young people, and even set the small ones upon his knees, sitting there on the altar, ministered as the power of God was released within our assembly. And I tell you, I praise God for these times. Young people, you're not the church of tomorrow. You're a part of the church today. Because we've tried to separate, we've tried to bring categories, but folks, we're living in an hour when God is fulfilling and confirming His Word, and He's going to bring it about within and through you and I today. So I'll tell you, folks, in this camp, I come to receive of God. But not only just to receive, because it's a boomerang as we give, and then we receive back of the Lord. So I come to give, but I also come to receive. So God bless your heart, and we're expecting great and mighty things before this camp is transpired.
Well, we've got a newcomer to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, as far as you're concerned. Brother Ben Buchanan, his wife and daughter, is here. And he's been here with us and ministered to us who live here at the campground. He came through, and we appreciate it very much. And I'm glad that they were able to come back and be with us and minister the Word of the Lord sometime before we all leave here. I hope that there will be a minimum of two times for him to minister. We got so many ministers here, we're going to have to put double up on you maybe. I have two double headers. But I appreciated Brother Ben's ministry when he was here, came through and stayed at the camp here a couple of days. And I asked him to come back this weekend and be with us. And I just appreciate him coming. He came all the way from up in northeastern Ohio. Right, Ohio? And quite a little long trip. They started early yesterday morning and got in here middle of the afternoon today. So they did real well in traveling. And I just want him to come and greet us all here for a little bit right now. Brother Buchanan.
I'd like for you to meet Miss Ohio. My wife, Polly, she's actually Miss Conneaut, which is a very small town, but she's the most beautiful woman there anyway. We're happy to be here to fellowship with you and looking forward to the Lord ministering to us and to you. I only have two stories, and he already run the first one. It was the offering story, and I didn't get up right after the offering, so I can't tell it. And there've been several mentioned their grandchildren, so that's the other story I have, is grandchildren's story. And I'll save it, because they've been talking about grandchildren already, but I'll share it. Maybe the next time you can call me first, and I'll be able to tell that offering story. Because it's really good, and you preachers will take, I promise you, you will take this story home and tell it to your congregation. Amen. So we're just excited to be here and appreciate the opportunity, the invitation, and we're looking forward to being a blessing and being blessed. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ben. Amen. Lance, where are you? keeping Orland company? Come up here and keep us company for a few minutes. We've known Blanche and Orland for about 25 years, I guess. No? Something get turned down? Okay. Anyway, we first met Blanche and Orland when Blanche used to just sing at the, around at different full gospel meetings. And what are we doing here? Work on something. We fell in love with them, and then we went and visited in their home years ago, back when we were traveling with the Full Gospel Businessmen. We went and visited with them, and we've just come to appreciate the ministry that the Lord has given to Blanche. What are we doing? One, two. Well, we'll get another mic.
God never fails. Prisoners, he sets them free. If you're faithful, I talk a lot, he's quiet. Good listener. Helps me much. But I'd like for you to greet the people with you.
I'd just like to say it's a privilege to be here and to see Glenn and Irma again. God is the greatest God of all. And he's our God, and I love him, and I love every one of you. So I've never met you before, but I love you because of that kindred spirit.
Amen.
And I love you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, we greet you also in the name of Jesus. I didn't get to come to the last camp. I was ministering on St. Simon's Island, but my heart was here. And I was so excited to try to find out all the good things that the Lord had said. And so wonderful to know that God is speaking everywhere. It's like the wind is blowing again. And the pure word is in the wind. It's the Ruach, the Spirit, is flowing forth. And all of us are being stirred deep within to know who we are in Christ Jesus. God's been speaking to my heart about the generation that needs to be taught the laws of God. How somehow it seems that we have missed what we are to know. We have left off the understanding of keeping God's law because we thought we so understood His mercy. And surely His mercy doth cover it all. I'll probably be teaching to you some from the 78th Psalm as the Lord gives the opportunity. And I would share with you right now, remember in Matthew the 13th chapter, when it said the kingdom of God, it's like a dragnet that they threw out, and they drew it in with all kinds of fish in it. And I'm saying, yes, Lord, I understand what you're saying. We're a mixture. The net's been thrown out. The word has gone forth. And what has been drawn in, it's a great mixture of doubt and unbelief and things that are separating us from one another because we haven't understood the totalness of God's law. And so it says that they took this mixture, and they threw the bad ones out, and they put the good ones in the vessel. And I said, hallelujah, the kingdom of God is deliverance. And the people are examining what we have given ourselves to. And what's been put in the good vessels, hallelujah, will remain forever. I tell you, God is calling a people who will stand in the authority of His Word and faint not. He's calling a people to stand in His whole counsel and be balanced before Him. Not a bunch of like washboard up and down, but we are to stand in the totality of the counsel of the living God and know that our Redeemer liveth, and every word that proceeds out of His mouth is a word that's now to us, that we would overcome, and we would not be caught up in the snare of weakness, weak-mindedness, things that would draw our attention away from the kingdom of God. God is calling a kingdom people to stand in kingdom authority and never break the rank and know that His Word in this hour is going forth to deliver a captivated people, for a people to stand in liberty and truth and know that the Lord God Almighty has delivered a people to know His Word, to know His Word, to know His Word, and in knowing it, we shall overcome the obstacles of death. I don't think Olin would mind my sharing this. In 1977, as the Lord was teaching us, we stood, I think the year before in 76, on the bank of the ocean floor, Sandy Beach, Vero Beach, Florida, on vacation. And we said, God, whatever it takes, be in us all that You want to be. In 3 months, a tornado had struck our business and blew it away. Olin had had a heart attack, a nervous breakdown. We lost our house, our cars. My father died. You said, could this be God? But you see, when God is molding and shaping a people, He is dealing with everything in your life that needs to be dealt with. We stood in that loss. I had to lose everything to find it. Olin was gone for some 10 years. We didn't get a divorce. I didn't believe in divorce. He didn't ask me one time, and he never followed through. I told him if he thought that's what he had to do to go ahead. He got out into the world and lost a lot of things. His self-respect. And he became a person that drank a lot. But God's faithful. I went through a time in it all when I said, Lord, if You can't do this on all the prayers that I prayed this far, then I quit. And for a long time, I didn't even pray for Him anymore. But you see, that was the other half of me. And when I took Him for better or worse, riches, sickness, poor, I took Him. I never loved anybody else. And God has restored 10 years. God has restored the number of responsibility. For 2 years now, we have been husband and wife. This man is desiring to be the priest in my home. During this time, the Lord developed me as a minister, and I carried His Word wherever the door was open. For 1 month now, Olin has been traveling with me. He says he's my chauffeur. But He's the priest in my home. He's the head of my house. He calls balance and divine order. He prays for me when I preach. He intercedes when I pray for the people. We're a team that God put together that the devil can't steal. He can't take away. He mends the breach. Now, we are victory before You tonight. Because our God is real. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can you add anything to that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I'd just like to add one thing. During all of that time, it took all of that hurt to learn the things that I had to know. Hallelujah. To bring me to where I am today. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah. And I thank Him for the hurt. Because it's down in the valley where we learn the lessons, not on the hilltop. And they're hard, but they're good.
Hallelujah.
Because God is good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise You, Jesus.
Praise Your Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is faithful if we will be. Lord, help us to be. Help me to be.
It's not you that stand in the need of prayer, but it's me, O Lord. Help me to be faithful. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Well, Brother Tommy, you ready to minister to us a few minutes here? Amen. Tommy Cook. All right. Brother Tommy Cook comes from over Tulsa, and he's been coming and ministering here now for 2 or 3 years or so. And we appreciate his ministry, and he's been traveling around the country to some of the areas where home prayer meetings and such are, that people who come here. We appreciate him going there and ministering the word of the Lord and not only representing Jesus, but the Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And we appreciate that. We appreciate what the Lord is doing through Brother Tommy and his ministry. Brother Tommy Cook.
Let's stand. Take a break here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Savior that come and died and bled for us, Lord. We bless Him, we praise Him, we magnify Him, we glorify Him. Lord, we thank you for our brethren here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry, for the people that's come to the camp. We thank you for this campground, Lord, again, and all that you've done in the past and in the present, and even in the future, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come tonight. As we break your word for a few minutes, Lord, help us to open our hearts and receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. Let's look at the scripture. I just want to share a few minutes. I have another message the Lord gave me today, but I'll save that till later while we have a little more time. But Revelation 14, verse 3. Revelation 14, verse 3. How many believe that God's raising His sons up? Hallelujah. Throughout the earth. And in Revelation 14, we know that there is a pure people here who have been purely purged, and they have a pure word within them. And in chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible said, and they sung, as it were, a new song. How many like to sing new songs? Hallelujah. I get tired of singing the old ones. I like to sing something new. How many know if any man be in Christ? Come on, he's a new what? Creature, old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. Praise the Lord. And says, these people here, the 144,000, are singing a new song before the throne of God. And notice it says, and no man can learn that song, but the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. Hallelujah. And we believe that we have all borne the image of the earthy. But we must bear the image of the heavenly. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. And many of us are too earthbound. It's time to get up in the heavenlies with God. Amen? And in the Spirit with the Lord. But it says here in verse 3 that they sung a new song. Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalms 40. Psalms 40 in the Scripture. And let's look at this together. Psalms 40. And verse 1, how many believe we all need some more patience? Psalms 40, verse 1, David said, I waited patiently. Well, it's good to wait patiently for many things. But David was not just waiting for anything. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe God wants us to get in our prayer closet and wait on Him a little bit? He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and notice, He inclined to me and heard my cry. Hallelujah. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Now that, the Hebrew means the pit of noise. I mean, all that you've got to come out of some noise to hear the voice of God. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know it's hard to hear the voice of God when everything's noise around you? You got to get quiet. Be still, you see, and know the Lord. Amen? He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock. How many know that's stability? And that rock is Christ. Can you say amen? He set my feet. Hallelujah. He may have set your feet, but He set my feet. And David said, upon a rock and established my goings. That's your walk life. Amen.
He's being led by the Lord. Can you say amen? The steps of a good man, come on, are ordered by who? The Lord. Now look at verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth. Hallelujah. And he wants a new song tonight. Glory to God. He put a new song in my mouth. Well, it's in the mouth. It's in the heart, too. Even praise unto our God. Now, look at this. Many shall see it, not just hear it. You and I must become the song. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Many shall see it. And what else? Fear, reverential fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. So as we wait before the Lord, he's going to hear our cry. We're going to recognize and always bring us out of the pit of noise. He has put our feet on the rock. There's stability. He's going to direct our pathway. Hallelujah. He's going to put a song of praise in your heart and in my heart. And many shall see it. They shall fear the Lord and they shall trust in the Lord. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms 149. Psalms 149. You know, you can take this psalm and apply it with Revelation 14. In Psalms 149, look at verse 1, David said, praise ye the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. And notice who you're singing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and notice his praise in the congregation of saints. That means the saints tonight. Somebody said, we're a saint or an ain't. Well, I want to be a saint. Verse 3, let Israel rejoice in him that made him, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. So here's the people singing a new song. And notice if they're joyful in their king, and it's the children of Zion. Hallelujah. In Revelation 14, there's a people standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb. Amen. And they're singing a new song. And they're following the Lamb. Here he's talking about the king. Well, the king is the Lamb. Can you say amen? And verse 3, notice they also have timbrel and harp. In Revelation 14, they're harping with their harps. Praise the Lord. So, we can apply that new song here, just like in Revelation 14. Turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Praise you, Jesus. Psalm 69, verse 12. Now, I mean, all the world has a song to sing. David here tells us in Psalm 69 and verse 12, they that sit in the gate, David said, speak against me. I mean, oh, they'll speak against you, too, if you're living for God. Amen? And notice what else. I was the song of the drunkards. I was the song of the drunkards. Now, I mean, oh, that there are three things connected. Well, there's many things connected with a drunkard. But how many know a drunkard is a parrot? How many know many times he doesn't talk so much in the natural, but you put some wine or something in him, he begins to talk a lot. Isn't that right? He might be a pig. He'll wallow in his own vomit. And third, he may be a lion. He wants to fight everybody. But David said here that the drunkards sung about him. Hallelujah. And so, brethren, the enemy also has a song. But it's nothing like that song that 144,000 are singing. That song is about him. Amen? That song will glorify Jesus. That song will not lift you up or me up. That song will cause many to praise him and to worship him and to love him. Amen. If I be lifted up, come on, everybody say it. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He wants to be lifted up in this camp meeting. Can you say amen? Amen. He wants to be exalted, brethren, among you and among me tonight. Hallelujah. Now turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Chapter 33 of Ezekiel. Let's see what the Bible here says about this song. Hallelujah. Look in verse 31. Ezekiel the prophet is speaking. And it says here in verse, well, let's go back to verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and the doors of the houses. Here's the prophet now. And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. How many want to hear the word of the Lord in this camp? Yes, all of us do, brethren. Verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh. They sit before thee as my people, the Lord says. and to hear thy words, but they will not, come on, do them. For with their mouth, how many know this is religiosity? They show much love, but their heart goeth after something, their own profit, their covetousness. Verse 32. And lo, thou art unto them. Ezekiel, this is what you are to the people of God. You're a very lovely song. Hallelujah. Of one that has a pleasant voice. You're a popular singer in their sight. And can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, Lord will come, then shall they know, come on, that a prophet hath been among them. He said they'll come together, they'll hear you, Ezekiel, but they will not do what you are singing about, that lovely song that you're singing. They will not do that. If we're going to sing that song, how many know we've got to do what the song says? We've got to be obedient. Revelation chapter 14, brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back in verse 3 again, notice. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne of God. Hallelujah. And before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Of course, this means all around the earth. But again, as we've borne the image of the earth, it will bear the image of the heavenly. Praise the Lord. But notice that word learn. No man could learn that song but. And we know that Jesus, the Bible said he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. That's the word we're looking at. Amen? And we know that there's some suffering to this walk. If we're going to learn this song and become this song, you're going to go through some suffering. We enter the kingdom. Come on, help me. Through much tribulation. Amen? So there is some suffering to this song. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 11 with me here, please. Matthew 11 in God's Word. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, verse 27. And I want to make one other point here before I sit down. Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered to me of my Father, Jesus said. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Son save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. I mean, oh, we need a real revelation of the Heavenly Father tonight. By Jesus through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now look at verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. How many come to this campground to get a refreshing from God? Amen. I think all of us could say amen. He said, come to me. Not to the Baptist, not to the Methodist, not to the Pentecostal, but come to me. All you that are heavy laden and you that are laboring, I will give you rest. I mean, all that rest came by his blood. It was free. It's given to you. He said, I'll give that rest to you. Then notice verse 29. Take my yoke. Just as Jesus was yoked with the Father, we must be yoked with Jesus. Amen? I mean, oh, first of all, that's a real union, a real communion with the Heavenly Father. That's a submission to the fivefold ministry, the apostles, come on, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds, and the evangelists. It's also being put in God's harness. That means you're restricted. You can't do what you want to. And you're becoming God's prisoner. And how many know that that God will restrict our going out and our coming in? He'll restrict us in many ways, won't he? That's a submission to the local work that God puts us in. Can you say amen? So this yoke has many meanings. But notice what he said now. Take my yoke upon you. That's, you have to take it, of course, by an act of your will and my will. And learn of me. Jesus said, learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly. Now notice, in heart, you shall find rest. You shall find rest. You shall find rest. For your souls. The first is given. First rest is given by the blood. We take the yoke by our will and by faith. We submit to his yoke, not the yoke of bondage of man now. You know what Paul talks about in the scripture. But to God's yoke. And he said, then you will find rest for your soul. And notice the phrase, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now back in Revelation, let's close it. Revelation 14:3. Let's look at it again. Let's read verses 1 through 3, actually. I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sang a song as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, these people are blood washed, hallelujah, in the blood of Jesus. These people here have been yoked with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Can you say amen? And these people will come into that final rest for their souls, because the Bible said they are sealed by the Father within their soul. Hallelujah. And only they can sing that new song. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Tommy. It made me think, when he was speaking about being yoked there, there really are very few people who want to be yoked, who want to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus and do only what Jesus wants them to do. In fact, there are so few that the Lord has a hard time finding anybody to really serve Him as He would like for us to serve Him. Are you willing to be yoked to Jesus and not try to do your own thing? And try to find what Jesus wants you to do? We need to be serious about that, because we can change the destiny of not only our own lives, but hundreds of thousands of others, if we will seriously consider that. Really, really. Amen. Well, I've never heard Brother Pemberton, but I haven't. Tomorrow night we're going to turn him loose early, but tonight I'm going to ask him to come and greet us for a few minutes, as Tommy did, and get acquainted with him. And those of you who've known him in the past and know him, why, we're just glad you're here. But all of us who haven't met Brother Pemberton before, why, we're going to ask him to come and greet us and bring whatever the Lord lays on his heart for a few minutes here.
Thank you, dear man. Well, that's good to be here. You're supposed to say that, but whether you're supposed to or not, I mean it. And then I've heard a lot about you, and first of all, I want to thank you, Brother and Sister Miller, both of you, for obeying God and doing what you're doing tonight and have been for a few years. Last year, a very dear friend of mine is a doctor from Pennsylvania, heard of this place and flew down here, and God met him in a very remarkable way. He talks to us quite frequently over there on the Mississippi Gulf Coast by phone, and telling me what God had done for him. In fact, Jim would be here tonight, but you helped him so much, Brother and Sister Miller, that he got married last Saturday. And so it's wonderful. Thank you for doing what you've done. It's very important. I haven't ever been here before, but I'm glad for what I see. Amen. When we came on the site last night, this speaks very well to us. I kind of cut my spiritual teeth on camp meetings such as this for years in southwest Louisiana and southeast Texas, where we had what we called the South and Dixie camp meeting. We started June the 3rd. I mean, John 3:16 is where the inspiration came from. June 3rd through 16. And irregardless of what day June 3rd came, we started the camp meeting on that day, under a big tent with 3,500 chairs under it, and as many as 200 pulp tents and campground site there. And we had four services a day. We had a lot of praying, but we started every morning reveling service about 6 o'clock, and the last service at night was just when everybody got so tired they didn't know what to do and went home. And after about 5 days, they were so tired, they was too tired to do evil. So we had a wonderful time. We fed everybody that came. I'd get up 4 o'clock in the morning and cook biscuits. I'm the fastest and nastest cook that ever greased the pan. And I learned that. And we fed them, and we had a great and a glorious time. So you're doing, but it was wonderful, but it's some work to it. Amen. Someone said there's at least three kind of people, Brother Glenn. I think you're in the first category. Number one, there are those that make things happen. Say it with me. They make things happen. Now, nothing happens within itself, even after Calvary. Huh? The first miracle that Jesus ever performed in John 2, there were some servants, and thank God Mary was there, and the servants were. And you remember, somebody was getting married. I've often thought about it. He must have been a big shot. They had everybody there. Everybody from the governor up and down. And right in the middle of the festivities, the book says they ran out of wine. And Mary knew more about Jesus than anybody there. And she's always wanting to show him off. I don't fault her for that at all. And she punched Jesus and said, "They're out of wine, they're out of wine." In other words, here's your opportunity. And Jesus said, "Well, what's that to me? Mine hour has not yet come." And the Bible said she did what everybody ought to learn to do. She left off speaking to him and turned to those servants and said, "Whatever he says for you to do, do it." Amen. Come on, say amen. Now, you do it. If you want a miracle, you learn to obey him, as Brother Tommy would say. And they said to him, "What do you want us to do?" And the book says they had a lot of big pots around there. Even they were one, I mean, that they used for the purifying of religion. And Jesus said to them, "Just take those water pots and fill it up with water. Just fill it up." And the Bible said they did it. And then Jesus said, "Now draw it out." Huh? And the Bible says when they drew it out, something happened. I've heard a lot of sermons in many years. In fact, I worked on a sermon a long time, what happened to get that water turned to wine. But I like what one fellow down in Mississippi said. He said, "I'll tell you how it happened. That water just looked up in the face of their Redeemer and blushed, and they had wine." I like that. I like that. It just turned to wine. And the Bible says when they served the governor, he says, "Wow, this is different. Everything I've ever known, they serve the best first." After you get about three sheets in the wind, you know, you can pan anything off on you. But this they've saved for the last. And here it is, folks. He saved the best for the last. I say he saved the best for the last. Folks, I'll tell you right now, this is our hour. I say this is the church's hour. I've just come from Washington, D.C., where there was nearly a million people, and they were there calling on the name of the Lord. God said, "If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, if I command the locusts to devour the land, if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, shall seek my face, I'll hear from heaven." Say, "I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll forgive their sins." This is our hour, and it'll go by you if you don't know that it's your hour. I say, if you don't know that it's your hour. Jesus Christ said to Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, you stone everybody that sent to you. How oft would I have gathered together as a hen does a brood, but you would not, and you did not know the day of your visitation." You didn't know the day of your visitation. Now they're hidden from thine eyes. And the enemy is going to surround you. He's going to lay you low. Folks, I want our eyes anointed. Say amen. I want to know this is your hour. Say amen. I want God to visit us this week. I say, I want God to visit us this week. Come in and say, "Lord, visit me right where you are. Visit me, Lord. Visit me with a mighty visitation of your Spirit. Open your eyes of our understanding. Anoint us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus." Hallelujah, Lord. I'm going to tell you, I want to be in the people that God uses. The Bible said the governor didn't know, but the servants knew. And those whom he uses, they know. They get in on the know. How many wants to get in on the know? So there's the first group, it makes things happen. Amen. This day didn't look as good when y'all got a hold of it, Brother and Sister Miller. Second group is the people that just watch things happen. They watch it. You'll see them. They're behind you. God knows some of them, they're so far behind you, don't know they're back there, but they're back there. They're watching things happen. Honey's here with me, and we've built 13 churches down through the years. Never went to a place in my life to start to move and work. What God didn't say, build a church here. I've always had the people, they say, "Now, do you believe it's going to happen?" And do you? somebody. And then when you get through your trial, they come up and say, I knew you was going to come through. You didn't either. Say amen. You didn't either. You didn't either. You got to get dedicated, glory to God, and it happens. You remember what those three Hebrew children said when they said, if you don't bow to the idol, or you'll throw, you get thrown in the fire furnace. They said, well, we're not particular, but we answer you quickly. We know the God that we serve can deliver us from that fire. How many know that? We know that. But one of the things, if he don't deliver us, we'll burn up trusting him. We're not going to bend, and break. Amen. So they watch. And then there's others that just say, what's happening? Anybody that's got one eye and half inch knows something's happening. All over this land, folks, there's something happening. And I hope people all over the campground side will be talking about what Jesus is doing. I'm so tired of hearing what the devil's doing. The devil. I know he's done a lot. But I feel like the devil with the devil. Everybody wants to see Jesus lifted up. Amen. And he does it, and he does it right. Glory to God. It's not the devil that's shaking things, folks. It's God shaking things. Say amen. It's God shaking things. He said, I will shake down everything that's shakable. There is, said the book of Hebrews, there is a voice from heaven saying, there's one more shaking coming. Amen. Now, you know I'm quoting the 10th chapter of Hebrews now. He said, everything that's shakable, he's going to shake. Amen. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost is signifying the things that's shakable. Shake down, he's going to remove the things. But the Bible said only those things that cannot be shaken. Say that cannot be shaken. It's going to remain. Hallelujah to God. I feel the church right now, glory to God, is rising up to know the day of our visitation. Folks, we can turn it around. I say we're going to turn it around. I say we're going to turn it around. Say amen. We're going to turn it around. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to turn it around. Amen. We're going to compel people. You read it, the last call in the 14th chapter of Luke, you go out and compel them to come in. Say it with me, compel them to come in. Heard it all my life that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. But I like what Ben Kinslow said about that. He said, that's true, but you can put a lot of salt in his oats and make him thirsty. Hallelujah to God. You can cause it. Amen. Hallelujah to God. I want you to take hands with somebody sitting right by you. These are days I believe that God's called us. Great preparation has gone in for these days. Brother and Sister Miller and all of their good workers, hallelujah to God, have provided. And we're going to flow together. Say, we're going to flow together. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you're here, glory to God. You're here to meet. You're here to turn it around. You're here, as we've already heard from our sister and our brother, to restore. You're going to restore. Say, say to the Lord, restore, Lord. Say, restore, Lord. Say, restore, Lord. The canker worm has eaten. Restore those years. Praise him right now. Restore, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I'm telling you, folks, I'm going to sit down now if I can. But I'll tell you, I came out of the school of thought that hang on, because the devil's going to get everybody. I preached the falling away so successfully that everybody started practicing it. Amen. You read this Bible, it's not a Bible of falling away. It's a Bible of restoring. When the thing happened, my brother from Baton Rouge, I'm on the road a lot, and every Monday morning for weeks. That's not an exaggeration. When I'd get to my office, there was a call. The paper said, give them 15 minutes. They want you to give them a story of what happened. I did not. It went on for weeks. A few weeks ago, I said to him, come out, and I'll give you a story if you let me read it before you write it. I'm not going to give you a story and let you release it all over the country. Put my name on it until I read it. He came out and sat down, and I got to talking to him. He got to bawling and squalling. I said, I'm on the side of mercy. Say amen. God's going to restore. Hallelujah. Let's prepare. Glory to God. I'm in camp meeting. The brother comes to bring us a word from the Lord. We're looking forward to knowing all of you and walking with Jesus and enjoying your presence. Thank you again. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Pemberton. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And He is the captain of the host. Amen. Amen. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of armies. Hallelujah. That word means armies. He's the Lord of armies, the captain of the host. Hallelujah. And that's who we serve. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, Jack's got 2 hours till 11 o'clock, till time for curfew. And we give him 2 hours, Jack Harris from Beckville, Texas, who is a minister and prophet of the Lord and a member of the board of this campground. And we appreciate him and appreciate his counsel and wisdom. And he's welcome to counsel us anytime he sees that he needs to. We're open for counsel from not only him, but from others that the word of the Lord will come through. We're here to be servants, serving those that come to this place needing restoration and help and the word of the Lord to come. We're here to be to fulfill that calling in our lives as servants in the household of faith, to the household of faith. We count it a privilege to be friends and of all of you and of these ministers who grace us with their with the word of the Lord. And it's a privilege to have Brother Jack Harris come and minister to us now this evening. Praise the Lord.
Appreciate the beautiful testimonies and the word of the Lord that has gone forth. And I appreciate all this distinguished ministry here. Praise the Lord. And all of you that have come to be in this meeting, I trust that the Lord will bless you real good. I know that in the few services we're going to have, I'd like to go on record as saying I'd be glad to forfeit my time after this, if I have time, to some of these other ministries, since I preach so often at the campground, and some of these don't. But I stand before you tonight as one that has a great hope. Hallelujah. Yeah, we are a people of destiny. We are a people upon whom the ends of the earth has come. And there's nothing we can do about that. The only thing we can do is just coordinate with the times and seasons and see what God will do. Hallelujah. And it's good to kindly have an idea of what he will do, and he doesn't surprise us too often, you know. If we know what God's plan is for this age and the age beyond and on beyond, it is our lot to be subject to change. We have to change. I came up with a group of ministry that they still today, every once in a while, I am in a service where one of the old-timers that I knew in the early ministry, and that for 50 years, he likes to say, and, you know, and I'm just the same as I was 50 years ago. I believe the same thing I believed 50 years ago. Well, of course, they mean that to be commendable, but I always say under my breath, it's not commendable of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, because we've come to a time of change. If you see, even my blessed hope has changed. I've always had a blessed hope. When years ago I had, you know what my blessed hope was, that I'd die and go to heaven. That was a blessed hope, but now I have one more blessed. I hope to live and reign with Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is a more blessed hope Now, I don't downplay the other hope, but if you want to die and go to heaven, but you'll forgive me if I say that heaven is the last place I want to go. I hope you won't misread that. Amen. Yeah, I feel like that if I get there, that'll be the end of the line. So that's I'd like to go a lot of places before that time, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. And see a lot of God. It's been a long warfare for me. Been many years in the ministry but it's been glorious. God has been abundantly good to me. I'll tell you, He has. And He has given me favor all over the world, everywhere I've gone. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've met a lot of God's precious people. I pray for them and wish them all the best. Get all of God that we can. Hallelujah. And just secure all the knowledge about God that we can. Tonight, then, for a few minutes, and I'll try not to be lengthy. Of course, you know brief for me is lengthy for most. I came up through the old area of God's man of the hour, but I always said I never was God's man of the hour. I was 2 hours. In Ephesians chapter 4, and you know where I'm going here, we had a lot of people here that hadn't been to the camp before. Brother Glenn, I'm always amazed at how many people are here each time they come that never has been here before. A lot of people come to this camp. Over a period of a year, lots of people come through here. And over the period of the time that it's been here, there's been a lot of people come through here. My Lord, we pray that you will be blessed as many before you have been blessed. You'll receive as many before you have come and received. The title to this message is, Have You Passed Under the Rod of God? It deals with discipline, and the Lord has been dealing with me in the light of things that have transpired for the last, you know all the sad stories, and the Lord has dealt with me more in connection of dedication and discipline. And in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll save time by beginning with verse 11, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for we all come in the unity of faith, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of Christ, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then he talks about, if we come to this state, we will be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, deceived by every sleight of man. Now, in connection with that, this is a five-fold ministry. If anybody is not familiar with that, I familiarize you with it. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Now, here we are establishing where this, I'm going to make some statements that I will clarify or I will justify them as I go. And this message will unfold as I unfold it. Hallelujah. I am saying that the five-fold ministry is the rod of God. Now, since we found out what the rod of God is, we need to find out where it is. And so I have immediately established those two facts, that the fivefold ministry is the rod of God. It is the one promise we have of being perfected if we submit to this ministry. And God has placed it in the church. In the church. Now, of course, there is a universal church of God, and then there are many local bodies. But the ministry is placed in the church, and we must submit to church order. And if we will not submit to church order, we will be counted as a rebel in the sight of God. And while one may come up through the ranks of one order of resurrection or another and meet God in peace, after the kingdom age, without coming to complete submission, I think that would be possible that one might do that. But you can, Jesus is talking about the great tribulation, and he said, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the millennial kingdom reign. And if your flight takes place during the Sabbath, it means that you missed the translation of the sons of God, that 144,000, and then the first fruit. You had to come all the way through the tribulation and bear up under many things, and to make your flight complete during the Sabbath, or on the Sabbath, which will be 1,000 years. And that will bring you face to face with God after we, I hope that it is we, have been reigning with Him for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Cook brought us the 144,000, and it says below where he read, these are the first fruits. This is only the first fruits, and beyond the first fruits, there is a bountiful harvest. And I have everybody who is a candidate for the 144,000. Everybody that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have announced my candidacy for the 144,000. I have announced it in Arkansas and Texas. I think I'm on the ticket in every state. Hallelujah. And abroad. I have publicly announced my candidacy. Now what must I do? Make my call in an election sure. But if I follow the line of least resistance, I will never do that. You know, when the great Mississippi River had to run from, you know, it runs from north to south. And when it had to begin at the beginning, up north, and come down to the emptying out in the south, if it had, well, you know how come it's so crooked? Followed the least resistance. And that's what, if it had not followed the least resistance and had been determined, it could have been a canal. Just a straight canal from north to south. And it would have accomplished the same purpose. But since it followed the line of least resistance, it's crooked. Sometimes, well, it goes from north to south. Sometimes if you follow, the bed of the stream, the banks of the stream, you'll be going east. Sometimes you'll be going west. If you follow it, the streams of that river. It just followed the line of least resistance. And if you go down to the Rio Grande, you know, they still have disputes over whether this is Mexico or Texas. Amen. Because the Rio Grande is the borderline, and it used to run here, but now it runs over here. Well, how come that? It followed the line of least resistance. So, that's just a natural thing, but I'm talking to you about spiritual things. Hallelujah. If you look at that in the spirit, you'll see. Now I cannot come to Zion if I follow the line of least resistance. No, we'll have to buck the tide all the way. It's, It's hallelujah. Amen. We have to go against popular belief. Oh, we have to worship God in a way that is not generally accepted by the religious order of people. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we have to be a determined people, don't we? But, all right, let's look back over then in Leviticus chapter 27, and we'll read here a verse or two of Scripture. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 32. And let me tell you first about this rod of God. The number in Strong's is 7626, and it means, this is what it means. It means to branch off. It means a stick for punishing. It means for writing. Writing. It means a stick for fighting. It means ruling. It means walking. And it means correction. All of these things is the rod of God. And my question tonight is, have we come under the rod of God? Are we willing to submit to the Lord and to the order of the church? A divine order, I say to you tonight, that we must be willing to submit. The moment we... the word itself is kindly repulsive. I was teaching on submission, not this teaching, but on another teaching on submission one time, and I thought it'd be good just to give all the new scriptural commands on submission, what to submit to and who to submit to. So I come to where it said, wives, submit to your husbands. And this one lady didn't right then, but a few minutes later, she holds up her hand. She wants to correct me. And she said, "Brother, are you saying that women have to submit to men?" I said, "I point you to chapter so-and-so and verse so-and-so. Read it to me." And she read it to me. She said, "Well, I don't believe, you know, that they... Are you saying..." Again. So I tried to get away from that, but she wouldn't let me leave it. And I said, "Well, sister, have you ever considered the possibility that you are just offended by the word submission? Just the word itself offends you. Now, I just wonder if you have given that any consideration, if it told you anything." You see, well, when we think of submission, we think of it kind of in a bad light, don't we? You know, there's a lot of words that we only think of in the negative term that has, you know, a word is used that we only tie bad to it, and sometimes it has it can be used in a good sense and has a good side, doesn't it? All right, in the 27th chapter, oh, praise the Lord, and verse 32, let's read 32. "And concerning the tithe of the herd," you know, I'm not preaching on tithe, but I believe in paying, giving tithe, you know, and tithe is a tenth. But the Lord will take care of that. "And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, whatever passes under the rod, the tenth, shall be holy unto the Lord." Now, my question again is, have you passed under the rod of the Lord? If you pass under the rod of the Lord, you will become holy unto Him. I hear the Lord say, "But know that the Lord hath set aside them that are godly for Himself. The Lord will hear me when I cry." Hallelujah. So, when you pass under the rod, you become holy unto the Lord. Now, he says, "He shall not search whether it be good or bad." He's talking about sheep coming in here. "And neither shall he change it. And if he change it at all, then both it and the change thereof shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed." Now, he says, this is talking about, it's in reference to the herdsmen bringing the flocks in from the field.
and they bring them into these corrals or these fences and run them down a lane, you know, a close chute. We call it a chute. And there's a fella sitting on the fence up there, and he counts 9 and taps the 10th one with a rod. And the trap door opens, and that 10th one goes another direction, and the 9 go on, and he just takes the 10th one, no matter what size, if it's a runt or if it's the biggest, doesn't matter, because he's going to run the whole herd through anyhow, and the 10th one belongs to the Lord, and it was turned over into another pasture, and given over to the Levites, to the tribe of Levi, to the Levites, to the priesthood. It was, and it became holy unto the Lord because it belonged to Him. And after it passed under the rod. Now, before, you see what happens here, before this little old lamb passed under the rod, he was just a lamb in a flock. Now, the flock may have been, there may have been 1,000 of them out there. And he's just one of them. But when he passes under the rod, hallelujah, he's not just one of them anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. He now gets a distinction that he didn't have before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before, he was just one of somebody, hallelujah, and he was just following the line of least resistance and following popular opinion. Whichever way the flock went, that was popular opinion. So he followed popular opinion. But when he comes down that chute and that whip taps him on the hip, he becomes distinctive. He belongs to the Lord. He does not follow popular opinion, but he turns through another gate and goes in another direction because he belongs to the Lord. Oh, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing, and the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us. Let us cast his cords asunder. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye kings and be wise you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Yes. Blessed are all they that do put their trust in thee. Yes. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Yes. Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory, and the
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.